You'll understand it a little bit better later in the message. I have preached many strange sermons, many, but none as strange as the one we're going to give you tonight. When I was doing the outline, I knew I was in trouble with this message. Even though this was bad, I didn't care. I was enjoying the ride, putting it together. Now, would I call myself to be a preacher? Not in a million years. So if you don't like this message tonight, listen to me now. It is God and Brother Knight's fault, because God is the one that called me, and Pastor Knight is the one that let me preach. So I am the innocent one here tonight, and I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the message. I am innocent, and I hope you enjoy this. This is going to be different than anything. I just can't remember ever doing anything like this. The title of it is The Eyes of Others. Now, I wanted to use a longer title, but we couldn't find a big enough CD to put the title on it. Here's the whole title: Seeing the Bible Through the Eyes of Others. Seeing the Bible Through the Eyes of Others. Our message tonight is going to come out of the book of Jonah. Now, that's sort of a strange book anyway, and so that's why the message is a little bit different. Now, I want you to stand with me for prayer, and let's get in the right spirit here tonight for this message. So stand with me if you can, and we'll pray, and then I'll let you sit back down. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this evening, we thank you. We thank you for all that you do for us every day. We thank you for this time together in this building tonight. Father, may the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct, and may some thoughts come out of this message that will stir each one of us up and help each one of us, Lord, to take a good look at ourselves, and may we be drawn closer and closer unto Thee. Bless these people tonight. Bless them with truth that will be good for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let me begin by saying it was a strange morning in Palestine. No, I'm not talking about Palestine, Texas. I'm talking about Palestine over there in the Holy Land. So I got up and I was just about ready to turn on the radio because I wanted to listen to my favorite radio program that came on KJHL. Now, what that stands for is King Jesus Holy Land. That's the station I was going to tune in. Now, the announcer came on the air and said, in just a moment, we'll have our program, A Moment in Time. We will have the program after our first commercial. Are you looking for a new and used camel, one with one or two humps? Then Camel Express is the place to go. We're located at Dust and Rock Avenue, just past the desert mark. We have your next camel. Please come and get him or her. Now, that's our commercial. Now, people, on this day, it was reported that there was some strange weather that was happening. Strange. And you know, we've had some strange weather in this world. Even right here in America, we've had strange weather at times. Now, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but just stay with me now. A storm seems to be chasing a ship. Think about that. A storm seems to be chasing a ship. Now, I want you to listen to this verse out of Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, you know, because you're smart people, that tempest simply means a violent storm that is associated with wind. with great wind. And that's what this storm is about. It's a great storm. Now, this doesn't sound like something that's very good at all. Now, we just had a local pastor call in and said, we were right. We were right. In the verse you read, the word S-E-N-T has this meaning. Now listen, audience, you won't believe this. The pastor said the word sent means to hurl something. In other words, to throw something out there. And so what he's talking about is, it seems like somebody has thrown a storm at this ship out here in the Mediterranean. He puts it like this. It's like a baseball pitcher takes a baseball and winds up and throws it towards home plate. That's his target. God's target seems to be for this storm to hit this ship. Now, we want to thank the pastor for that little bit of information. Question now, why did God throw this storm at this ship? That's a good question. Now, let me say this. Could there be somebody on that ship that God is trying to get their attention? That's a question that we'll try to answer here in a moment. Please understand, God gave to Jonah a job to do. We all know the story of Jonah. We all know it. And this was no little job. Most preachers like big jobs because preachers have big egos. Now, remember, Nineveh was a great city. And it would seem that God has had their sin come up before him. Now, we need to understand something here. And it is this right here. None of us can hide our sin from God. We all are an open book before God. Can you believe this? Jonah is trying to flee to Tarsus after getting the call from God to go to Nineveh. God had a job for Jonah, but it looks like he's going on a vacation. But God throws Jonah a curveball. He throws a storm at him. Now, friends, there's something we all need to know. And if you don't learn anything else tonight, if you learn this, this will help you. It's not my will. It's not your will. But it's always God's will that needs to be done. Now, if you can get that down in your spirit, that will help. Even if God has to throw a storm at you. Now, Scripture often refers to the believer as the called of God. Now, you know that. You've read verses that had that in it. We know Jonah was called of God, but for some reason, he decided not to do God's will. Why would God's man do this? Well, Jonah himself said, you read the verse, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. From that verse alone, we know he did not believe he could go anywhere and get away from God, because God made the land, God made the sea. So I ask, why would he do this? And we'll answer that question right after our next commercial. To all of our Arab friends listening in today, looking for picks and shovels for digging tunnels, visit your desert mark, open 24 hours a day, because we know some of you do your best work at night. And we hear that the Ayatollah has blessed these picks and shovels himself. Now, a picture of Jonah is beginning to evolve out of this story, so we can understand this man better. It is being reported that Jonah had a great love for his people. That's a commendable thing. I bet every one of you love your family. I bet you love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, and your uncles and aunts and so on. And that's good. And it is being reported now that this man, Jonah, loved his own people. And it was prophesied. So we know he knew the word of God too. It was prophesied that the people of Nineveh one day would rise up and defeat Jonah's people. So Jonah could be thinking something like this: if I don't go, maybe God will destroy them and my people will be saved. That could have been his thinking, and when you stop and think about it, that's a very noble thought. Doesn't it sound good to you? Yes, it sounds pretty good to me. Save my people, I'll just disobey God. Well, friends, you may have your reasons for not doing what God has called you to do. And you may think your reasons are good, because Jonah evidently thought his reasons were sufficient for him to directly go against God's will and not go to Nineveh. But I want to tell you something. You better be wise. You don't have a reason for not doing God's will. Whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. I mean, put yourself into it. Jonah was willing, listen, Jonah was willing to die for what he thought was right to save his people. I mean, this man has some convictions there, but God has a surprise for Jonah. So they, the sailors on this boat now, took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Notice, and the sea ceased from her raging. Did you notice something there in that verse? I noticed that God calls a raging sea a her. Did you see that? Listen to it again. And the sea ceased from her raging. We will just pass over that. Look like, and just think, well, we didn't even see that. Just pass over it. Now, question, is this the end of the loving man called Jonah, who cares for his people so much that he's willing to disobey God and just go on his way and do what he wants to do? We will let you know after our next commercial. You are listening to A Moment in Time. We read that Jonah was fast asleep down in the ship. We hear by good report that he was asleep on his own my pillow. Every Jew and every Gentile need their own my pillow. For the best sleep in a storm, you need my pillow. All right. Now, the last time we saw Jonah, he was in a situation. He was going over the side of the ship. I mean, it didn't look good for Jonah at all. We notice the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. So just at the right time, at the right place, this great fish opens his mouth. My, my, this is bad. But there is one good thing about what happened here. God's man is not running anymore. Now he's praying. There's a lot difference than running and praying. It'd be better for you to be praying than running from God. We read Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. My, hallelujah. Jonah said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And as strange as this story seems, Jonah prayed a strange prayer also. I'm going to tell you, I have to admire Jonah. Even in the midst of what the Bible refers to like hell, here is Jonah praying, and listen about his prayer. His prayer was poetry in form. It was like poetry. I mean, when you're in a terrifying situation, you know, it takes a lot to be praying like a poem comes out, you know. This is a man of unusual talent. He begins with a word of about his impossible situation, and he ends in an expression of his faith. The first movement is in verses 2 to 4 there in chapter 2. The second movement is 5 and 6, and the third movement was found in verses 7 through 9. If you've got your Bible, turn to Jonah. That's in the Old Testament, as you know. And look with me in chapter 2. And I'm going to just set this prayer up just a little bit. Notice now he begins by talking about his impossible situation. And then he always ends with victory in sight. I mean, he has victory in his soul. Now, we're going to start here, if you don't mind, in verse 2. And he said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and waves pass over me. And I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. Now come down to verse 5. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. Now look at verse 7. Then my soul fainteth within me. I remember the Lord. My prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple. They observe lying vanity, forsaketh thine own mercy. Listen now. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, you can imagine when you compare this poetry of a prayer to what you would say if you were in this condition, you were going through what Jonah was going through. My prayer wouldn't sound nothing like this. I mean, man, it would be, God, come. God, help me. God, deliver me. God, set me free. But Jonah is praying in poetry. My, what a man we have here in the Scripture. Then we read, speaking of the fish, notice, he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then God gave Jonah a second call. Let me say hallelujah for second calls. His first call was, go into Nineveh and cry against it. His second call was, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God was going to tell him what to say. First time he was called, he could have said what he wanted to. But now God says, you say what I say. His message to Nineveh was not loving, not compassionate. I mean, no. Look what he says. It's just gloom and doom. Gloom and doom. He says in his message, 40 days. 40 days, my friends, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days and it's going to be overthrown. When Jonah did God's will, one of the greatest meetings we read of in God's Word took place. Notice what happened when Jonah obeyed God. This will remind you that when you obey God, there will be blessings coming for you. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Also we read this, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Why? Because the people of Nineveh turned from their evil ways. God could now deal with them in grace. Think about that. When we turn from our sins, God can deal with us in grace. Let us do what the people of Nineveh did. I wish our leaders in America would learn this little secret right here in Jonah's book. Our leaders and even our preachers talk about prayer, and that's a good thing. That's something wonderful to talk about prayer. And I'm not making light of prayer, but where is the talk of turning back to God? Amen. You don't hear that today. No, even in the mess we're in tonight, you'll hear some preachers, you'll hear some politicians, you'll hear some people say, pray, 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 but you never hear them say, turn from your sins. No, America gets deeper in the mess of sin every time politicians in the Supreme Court take a vote. We're going further away from God. We're still talking about prayer, but we've forgotten God said turn. But we don't turn. We just keep on marching into the mess we've got ourselves into. Well, we must do it God's way if we want God to deal with us in grace. Now, before we have our last word on this man, Jonah, next week on our program, A Man, A Moment in Time, we're going to look at a man who sleeps with lions. Be an interesting program. Tune in. Now, let us end this program with this question. In the book of Jonah, who was the faithful one? The fish or Jonah? Who would you give your vote tonight if I said, let's cast a vote? Who was the faithful one? Was it the great fish or was it God's powerful man, Jonah? I don't know how you'd vote. I am going to vote for the fish because the fish did everything God said do. God's man did not do what God said until he couldn't get out of it. Now listen to me. I give my vote to the great fish. In chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, in verse 17, read this now. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Understand. This is something everybody in this building needs to get a hold of. Understand, we each are prepared by God for His purpose in our life. God does not call you to do what He does not prepare you to do. God began preparing me years before I was ever saved. And before I was ever called to preach. Three times when I was just a young man, I came very near to death. Three times. One of the times, doctors had even given up and said, he won't make it, just make him comfortable. I had double pneumonia. I was not in a hospital. I was at home. My fever was so high that they packed me in ice. Another time, I got caught in quicksand out in California. I got in quicksand up to here and some way managed to get across. And then I took a board and stuck it back into the quicksand between my brother's legs. And I jumped up and down on that board until I broke him loose. And then he crawled up on that board and came over to where I was on safe ground. Another time was when I went over a pillbox in California. Bad things happen in California. I went over a pillbox where the water was shooting out both directions, and in the bottom of that pillbox there was a current that would hold you down. When I went over into it, now I'm just a little boy. I don't even know how to swim at this time. But when I went over, I threw my arm out. and I caught the cement on the other side, and I was able to pull myself up out of that suction box and pull myself to safety. God said, no death. No death. You're not going to take him. I've got a job for him. So death was robbed of its victory at that time. Now, so God began preparing me. Yes, sir. You know, a preacher has to love people. And you know, I'm not insulting you, but you know, sometimes people are not easy to love. But a preacher has to love everybody. He has to love the good church members, and he has to love the sorry church members. They must know how to work. A preacher has to learn to work, how to keep a good attitude. Because if the preacher's got a stinking attitude, the whole church has a stinking attitude. So a preacher has to keep a good spirit. And he must have a fire down inside of him that will not let him quit. I can't give up. I can't stop. My mom and dad was a big help to me when I was coming up. I was to treat people with kindness and respect. I was not to judge people by the color of their skin, their money, their education, where they came from. Now, true, I did keep my eyes on Yankees. I'm just kidding, maybe. Over the years, I have pastored many people who were much smarter than I. Some were even better looking than me, but that was a rare thing. And they call me their pastor, and I was honored to be their pastor. Next we read that old Jonah was swallowed up. Now think about how this fish had to be willing to be just where God wanted him to be. He had to be willing. A fish can go about anywhere he wants to in the water. But this fish was commanded by God to be at a certain place. God wanted Jonah down in Nineveh, but he was on his way to Tarshish. And there are some Bible scholars that say that Tarshish was down in the southern part of Spain. I don't know if that's right or not, but some scholars believe that. I know one thing, the German people believe that Spain is the vacation capital of the world. They go there by the busloads every year for the warm sunshine and the sandy beaches on the Mediterranean. I remember one time Peggy and I went with an Air Force man down to Spain, and we were coming out of Madrid. I said, there's a railroad track running right down side the road. And I said, what's on the other side of that railroad track? And the Air Force guy said, that's the Mediterranean over there. I said, you got to stop. You have got to stop. And so he pulled over. It was a trestle where a bridge was. I got out of that car. I ran over there under the railroad track, got to the Mediterranean, pulled off my shoes, rolled up my breeches, and I jumped in the Mediterranean. I had to say, I have been in the Mediterranean Sea. It was just something I had to do. I don't know why. I said preachers are crazy. But anyway, I did that. Now, we find that the Bible says that this fish had to be at a certain place at a certain time. And when the sailors had Jonah up in the air, holding him up in the air after he'd confessed that he was the one that brought the storm on them, and up in the air, and then all at once, over the side, Jonah went. Guess what? And there was the great fish that God had prepared, and he swallowed up Jonah. This fish opened his mouth at the right place at the right time. I've opened my mouth at the wrong place at the wrong time many times. But anyway, this fish did what God told him to do. Now, dear God, we need preachers like this fish. We need preachers who will open their mouth and preach the word. What's wrong in our day and time is that preachers want to be politically correct. Let me tell you, politically correct came from the mouth of hell. And it's keeping preachers today from preaching the word, preaching the truth. I'm afraid I'll offend somebody. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Let me tell you, if it's in this book, Paul said, preach the word. That's what Paul said. And we need to preach the word. Here's what I want to show you. Have you ever thought about the navigation system that's in that fish? If the Chinese could find out that where that fish is, they would be going and trying to figure out the navigation system that that big old fish had inside of it. Think about this. When he swallowed up Jonah for 3 days and 3 nights, this fish was plotting his way under the Mediterranean, going somewhere. All the time that that's going on, Jonah is inside of that fish's belly. And if you want to know how bad it was inside that fish's belly, it's compared to hell. That says a lot right there. So at the right place now, the fish has made his way. He's come to the right place, and it was the right time. And what happened? The Bible says God spake to the fish. Let me tell you something. People may not know God's voice, but this fish did. And when he heard God tell him, the Bible said, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. Only, oh my goodness gracious, if somebody would have had an iPhone and could have been right there on the beach when all of this happened and snapped a picture of Jonah as he came ashore. Boy, that picture would have been revealing. Not very many preachers have I ever heard say what I'm fixing to tell you right now. But that would have been a picture. Think about his clothes. They're in shambles. He's been washing back and forth inside that great fish. Seaweeds have been wrapping around his head. He's washing back and forth. His clothes are being ripped. Wow, what a picture that is. But here's the most stirring thing. Think about his skin. The skin on his belly. His skin was being bleached by the acid in that fish's belly. I had a professor in college, Dr. Kenneth Conley. He was from England. He told how once a man was cast over some way over the side of the ship and he was swallowed by a whale. They immediately attacked the whale. They killed the whale and drug him ashore or on the boat or somewhere. And they cut him open and the man was still alive inside of him. But he said his body was so bleached, the acid in that big whale had just changed his own color. Now, I never thought about that much. But you know, can you think about this? What did the Bible say when Jonah got out of that great fish and God said, I want you to still go to Nineveh? And Jonah said, yes. And Jonah went into Nineveh. And what happened? A great revival spread over that city. Now think about this. You remember when the ship was out there in the water and the storm was hitting it? I mean, like, you know, God had thrown that storm at them. Do you remember what they did? The sailors took the wires on the ship and they cast them overboard. Where do you think those wires were supposed to be going to? Some of them was probably going to Nineveh. Now they don't have them. So they make their way into the harbor at Nineveh. And what happens? They get off the ship and they have to tell the merchants, we don't have your wares. They're gone. We had this man on our ship that was running from God. And we had to cast him overboard, and then the storm ceased its raging, and we don't have your wares. We'll have to bring a load again to you. Now think about it. They told them about that man called Jonah that was cast overboard. Now here comes a man out of the sea, being thrown up out of this great fish, hits the ground and heads towards Nineveh. Now just think about the impression. Think about the impression this man would make. His clothes are ragged. His skin is all bleached out. He may still have seaweeds wrapped around him, but yet he goes into the city of Nineveh and he looks like a wild man. Those people had heard about him. They thought he was dead. What's happening? What is God doing here? And then Jonah opens his mouth and says, 40 days from now, God is going to destroy this city. And you people, what would you do if you seen a man that was considered to be dead and came back alive and told you judgment was coming? What would you do? What would you do? You'd do what they did. They got down in the sackcloth and ashes, and they began to pray from the king himself down to everybody else. And they said, oh, let's pray, because I believe God, he might have mercy on us. He might have mercy on us. And my friends, that's exactly what God did for the people of Nineveh. They believed what Jonah said, and they turned to God from the king down. My last word to you tonight, listen to it carefully. Listen to it real carefully tonight. My last word is, don't make God ask you twice. Don't make God ask you twice. I'm going to tell you, I went through a lot of things in my life that I didn't really have to go through. But because I didn't do what God said the first time, God had to come back the second time. So I'm telling you, don't make God ask you twice. When God speaks to your heart about anything, when God speaks to you about preaching, being a missionary, doing this or doing that, working in Sunday school, whatever it might be, when God says, I want you to do this, step up and say, hey, God, here I am. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll do that, you'll find God's blessings on your life. You read this Bible, God does not put people through sorrows and heartaches and misery because they're obedient. It's when we disobey God that obedient comes our way. Be a faithful Christian. Walk pleasing to God. Stand upright. Be counted. Because if you'll be that Christian that God can depend on, then you will be a blessed individual. Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Knight said I could close the service any way I wanted to. And so I'm gonna close like I've done many times before by praying for you. Now I know I need prayer too, so I'll include myself in this tonight. But I know you need prayer. Some of you are facing things you don't understand. You're going through things you don't understand. I mean, there's times you wake up in the middle of the night and you say, my Lord, what is God doing? You need understanding. You need to have a revelation. You need to know what this book says. You need to get wise in the Word. So that's what I want to pray tonight for every one of you. So let's bow our heads. Let me ask you just a couple of questions. How many of you tonight can say, "Preacher, I'm glad I'm saved tonight"? Would you raise that hand up real high and hold it up for a second or two? Thank you, thank you. Put it down. That's great. That's great. God bless you tonight. The best decision you ever made is when you fell on your face before God and said, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." You know what God does when somebody says that? He saves them. Because He's a faithful God. And the Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, you know what repentance is? That's when you turn about. You're walking one way, you turn the other way. I thank God for the preachers and the people that had an influence in my life that caused me, and my wife had a big part in this herself, that caused me to turn and say, "Yes, God, I've been bad. I've been a fool so many times, done so many things wrong. I've caused my wife to have to cry tears. I've cost my children something. God, I want you to save me." And God did. God did. Let me ask another question. You never know in what service somebody might be in when they're not feeling well. Is there anybody here tonight that you sort of, you're under the weather and you wish that God would come and minister to you? There's a couple, three hands. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Here's another question. How many of you that would be willing to say, "Preacher, I need God's leadership in my life"? Would you raise that hand up high if you need God's leadership in your life? Yes, yes, yes.